CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with CJ today. And our guest this segment is Tim Hoke, a trial attorney and author of 50 Rules for Sons. Fans out there, you can get more shows like this one at FiredUpWithCJ.com. And I just want to go right back to CJ and Tim right now.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So my son is soon to be graduating middle school, and I absolutely dread the day that he will be leaving our house and going to college. But nonetheless, it will happen. Well, hopefully it will happen. And I think during that time, I imagine myself wanting to stuff every little bit of information that I've been telling and repeating over the course of his 18 years and hope that he remembers all the little nuggets of wisdom that I have. And our next guest, Tim Hoke, actually was asked by his wife to write a letter to his son during graduation so that he could remember, you know, some important things. And so this letter then turned out to be a book with 50 rules for his sons. And I have to tell you, what I love about this book is the self-effacing nature and humor in it, because you can tell that Tim is someone who not only has traveled a lot in life, but is also someone who learns, who takes something that may have been hard, challenging, and converts it into a lesson and a life learning. So I appreciated that in the book. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, CJ.
So tell me about, so when I read through your book, the lessons, and in the back, the backstories behind them, you know, these are all basically a set of mistakes that you've made through your life and lessons that you learned. What is the absolutely worst mistake? Like, when you look back, you're like, you know, that was the most idiotic move I've ever done, but I learned so much.
Oh,
for you, what was that?
The biggest mistake I've made. Now you're going to make me really air this, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, I've done so many just colossally stupid things. I think probably most of the big picture mistakes I've made have, and this is funny because I had this conversation with my daughter last night. I asked her, it's her birthday coming up, and for some reason we got on the subject of when's the worst, the most mad you've ever seen me? And I think the biggest mistakes I've made are the ways that I've disciplined my kids wrongly, you know, sort of let my emotions get the better of my reason. Mm-hmm. And every single time I've made a mistake, it almost invariably goes back to approaching a problem emotionally rather than rationally.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I think that's – and wouldn't that be the case for a trial lawyer, right? You just don't want to start losing your act.
No. I mean, you know, one of the rules in here is wait at least 24 hours before you address a letter called Dear Judge Dumbass. And there's a story there. You know, I had a circumstance where I was a very young lawyer, very brash, and, you know, I was right in everything I did. So I had a hearing, and I had a client who was at the hearing with me. And I lost the hearing, and I was irate. I was embarrassed and irate. And I came back to the office, and I dictated a letter. And that's back in the day when you dictate letters. And I dictated a letter, and I said, Dear Judge Dumbass. And I went through all the various reasons why he'd made a mistake in his room. And my legal assistant typed it up, and she put the judge's real name in there. I said, no. I said, Dear Judge Dumbass, we're going to keep that in there. And she said, okay. And that night I went home. And I had a rather fitful night of sleep, and I tossed and turned, and the next morning I woke up, and I went into work early, and I went to my legal assistant, and I said, you know what, I think I made a mistake. I don't think I should have done that. I shouldn't have sent that letter. And she opened her desk drawer, and she said, you mean this letter? She had saved me from myself. And so I've been so lucky in that regard.
I hope you kept that legal assistant.
Oh, yeah. It's funny you say it because she's been with me for 20 years.
Of course. You're like, you're with me for life now.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I know you got my back. Okay, so I think what's so interesting is that there's a lot of stuff around here in your book about, you know, the art of, you know, making deals, which I assume that you do a lot with your profession. And so – you know, is there, and you have a bunch of them, there's, you know, don't buy into dogmatic nonsense, opinions are not fact. Don't assume that an obvious question has been asked. When reviewing a proposal from someone else, don't feel constrained by its parameters. Don't be an ideologue or a demagogue. The world has plenty of those. I mean, is there a kind of a, I know, is there like a backstory that you can go and say, you know, I just had a case where this demonstrates these rules perfectly. Is there one that you have in mind, or can you construct one, or can you just make up one for us?
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm a lawyer. Give me just about 2 minutes, and I'll make a good one. No, but, you know, the old adage is, in law particularly, the old adage is, if the facts are on your side, argue the facts. If the law is on your side, argue the law. If you don't have the law or the facts, just argue. And that's sort of a strict adherent of mine, you know, being a lawyer. But no, really, I mean, it's so funny because lawyers, we try to overcomplicate things. That's how we get paid, right? I mean, we like to make sure that we sit in this throne, and you can't deign yourself to understand this because you're not a lawyer. I'm a lawyer, and it's not that hard, you know. And so the lesson really in all of this is keep it simple and don't argue about things that don't matter. I had a boss who was just a real tough boss a long time ago. And I went in, and we were reviewing a proposal on a business that they wanted to buy from our client. And so it gotten the negotiations gotten fairly contentious, and the other lawyer sent me a proposal. So I went through his proposal pretty much line by line and made rebuttal to those proposals and told where we would act and where we wouldn't act. And I put together a nice memo, and I took it into my boss. And he read it, and he read it, and he read it, and looked at it. And I was so proud of that. I thought, this is really good. And he stared across the desk at me, and he tore it up. And he said, this is your response to theirs. He said, they don't set the rules. You put together your own proposal, and you send it back to them. And there's an interesting lesson in that. You know, make your own parameters. Make your own sort of structure for how you want a case to go. And really, that's true in life, too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to fit whatever you want to do in life into what's out there. Go make your own way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, from the emotional sense, it's creating boundaries. From the social sense, it's kind of like be your own person. You know, you don't have to let the societal conventions define who you are. Figure out those things yourself. Don't let the external world define who you are on the inside.
Exactly.
But it is a valuable life lesson. I like it. That was, in fact, that was my favorite rule, number 38.
Uh-huh. Is that right?
It was my favorite one. And I think the other one that I really liked is the obvious, don't assume the obvious question has been asked. There's something about asking questions and remembering what things are opinions, what things are facts. Can you give us a backstory on that one, too?
Yeah, that's a great question because, especially as a lawyer, you know, a lot of times we're a little intimidated to ask questions, and I know I have been, and I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
As a lawyer particularly, you have to ask those questions. And, you know, the backstory on that particular question is that I was in a deposition one time, and I was taking the deposition. We were suing a telemarketing firm, and I didn't really know the lingo, and the telemarketer was pretty slick, and I was asking a bunch of questions, and there were a bunch of sort of annotations on his file. And I thought, well, these are interesting. These must be industry terms that I just don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, I don't want to sound like an idiot, so I'm not going to ask him about those. And then towards the end of the deposition, my curiosity got the better of me. I thought, I'm going to ask him about just one of these and find out what this stands for. And I said, what does this acronym down here stand for? It's all capital letters, and it's BOHICA, BOHICA. I said, what does that stand for? And he looked at me, and he sort of stammered, and he said, where does it say that? And I said, right down here at the very bottom. He started getting nervous. I thought, oh, good, what's going on here? He danced around a bit, and then he decided he would tell me it stood for bend over, here it comes again. So, you know, it was at that point I thought, I'm going to ask about every single one of these. They had their own sort of language for when they telemarket and they'd get these customers on the line and they'd, you know, sell them a bill of goods. And really, frankly, it kind of broke open the case.
Wow.
They had all these acronyms that were just horrible. One
right.
of them was an acronym, I've got a BMW on the line, and the BMW stood for bitch, moan, and whine.
Oh, God, that's awful.
It was just horrible. And so I thought, and I was so intimidated not to ask a question, and I'm so glad I did. So that's just sort of a stark example of don't be afraid to ask a question.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because I think that especially when you're young, you're starting a job, or any time that people get out of their comfort zone, you just don't want to appear stupid because you're supposed to be the expert in this matter, or you're supposed to be the one who's in command of the conversation. And so asking the question, even if it seems like it may be stupid, in your particular case, it ended up being the winning question.
Exactly. Particularly, yeah. You know, as a lawyer. So.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Okay, so we actually have to go on break. We have Tim Hoke, author of 50 Rules for Sons, and I would say daughters, too.
Well,
I
thought it was, and I've got one coming out in the fall for daughters.
Okay, excellent. So in the next segment, we're going to continue getting advice for getting along. How do we play well in the playground of life? Okay, we'll be right back.